In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly King, Paraclete, Spirit of Truth, you who are everywhere present and fill all things, treasury of all that is good, Master of life, come, dwell within us, cleanse us from all stain, and save our souls, O good one. Mary, cause of our joy, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today, we're going to be looking at another section in the first chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, Mark 1, 21 to 27, which is on teaching and exorcism. And we're going to notice here already the characteristic of Mark's Gospel. He's very sensitive to the dimension of the struggle and the battle with darkness. More than the others, he points this out a lot. And we're going to see it right away in this text we're looking at today. We're going to start with chapter 1, verse 21, and go to 27, which isn't a lot, but I'm going slowly on purpose. You remember, so far, we've had the prologue, the tiny prologue of Mark, and then this long section, beginning with the Jesus coming out to preach, and then as passing by the sea, he calls these four men, and then at verse 21, they went into Capernaum. That is, he was on the shore, and he called these men, and they began to follow him, and they went right into the synagogue at Capernaum. If we take it literally, now maybe many things happened, and it wasn't really Shabbat itself, because they wouldn't be working on Shabbat, but we don't know that. However, the next thing that he wants to tell us about is Jesus is entering into Capernaum. Now, this is the first public manifestation of Jesus in Mark. Every one of the Gospels has a different opening manifestation. In Matthew, it's one thing, and in Luke, it's another. In Luke, it's the visit to Galilee and the citing of the text in Isaiah 61 and saying, this is fulfilled in your hearing. John, who takes us up to heaven for the beginning, in the beginning was the Word, and so forth. Mark has just told us about the going down and being calling the disciples. And now we're going to go from being on the shore, calling the four disciples, and they went into Capernaum. Well, they were near it, you know, they'd just been going into the town, they were on the shore. And straight away, now I always translate this word, sometimes the translators don't, because it's hard to figure out why he uses it so much. Kephtis. And straight away, he began to teach. And there'll be another straight away, even in this narrative. I think it's his literary way of saying, pay attention, move from what you've been thinking about to this place. It's a characteristic of his style. Eftis, E-U-T-H-U-S, Kephtis, and suddenly, and straight away, whatever. Okay. And they went into Capernaum, and straight away, he began to teach in their synagogue. In their synagogue, right? And now we're starting the public revelation of Jesus, the Son of God. All right. And they were amazed at his teaching. For he was teaching them as one having power, exousia, one having authority or power. He makes an impression. And hearts are changed, people are healed. when he's talking. This is more than normal, you know, not as our theologians. For he was teaching them as one having power, and not as the scribes, the theologians, who just, you know, tell us what to do and what the law means and how we're going to follow it and all the rest. But that's as far as they go. He was teaching as one having power. He was in touch with the realities he was talking about, and he had an authority that was unique. He is, after all, the Son of God. They don't know that yet, but they know he's different. And straight away, there's that marking word again. This is the way he changes attention. See, it's a narrative word. And straight away, there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. Now this is very prominent in Mark, our Lord's conflict with Satan. There's more of these, and this is the first miracle. All we've had in Mark so far is the beginning and the call of the disciples. Now, they called him on the shore, they're up into the town, and bingo, he's teaching. And that teaching flushes out the demons. I think I've told you before how Mike Scanlon was preaching in a Pentecostal tent meeting, and he said, well, what happens if there's disturbances and people start shouting and running up? What happens? It happens sometimes in church, but usually our people wouldn't shout and scream, they just start chatting with their neighbor. What do you think he's talking about? Are you going to the ball game this afternoon? Or anything to avoid listening to the word. Or I don't like the way that man talks, or whatever, you know. That's Satan distracting people from the Word of God. But here, it's direct. And it happens. People just can't stand it. When truth is preached, and Jesus' beauty and love and power and forgiveness are being offered, some people get very nervous and very angry. They can stalk out, or they can start chatting with their neighbor, which is what happens most of the time. When you're standing up there, I must tell you this as a preacher, when I'm standing up there and I see people start to chat in the middle of the sermon, I say something's getting to them and they're afraid to let it get. I mean, if they're just saying, you know what time it is? Well, that's different. But even then, why do they have to know what time it is at that point? In other words, we can resist the word is what I'm saying. So, there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, what is there between us and you, Jesus the Nazarene? You have come to destroy us. I know who you are, the Holy One of God. He doesn't know who he is. He's trying to find out. Are you really what I think I see? Are you that anointed by God? Are you that close to God? Are you really the Agios tou Theou? Are you really the Holy One of God? And he's waiting for Jesus to say, yes, that's right, that's who I am. Now I know who I'm fighting. Jesus has an infinitely intelligent mind. He doesn't get involved in that. He just says, and Jesus rebuked him, epithemon, which is famous all the time in exorcism stories, rebuke. Be quiet and go out of him. That's all he said. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him, and crying out with a loud sound, went out of him. Was as disobedient as he could be, but thoroughly frightened. All of a sudden he realizes, not yet exactly what he's up against, but he's up against the divine power, and he knows it. And so, crying out with a loud sound, went out of him. And all were struck, so that they questioned each other, saying, what is this? New teaching in power. And he commands the unclean spirits and they obey him. This is a different kind of teaching. This is not, this is what the law says about this, or this is what you should be doing, or this. Don't forget to come back next Shabbat. This is different. This is talking about God and who he is, how much he loves us, what purity of life he wants from us. And this is what it says in the Holy Scriptures. That's and they get very uncomfortable. And this fellow with the unclean spirit, he gets really uncomfortable. And report of him went out straight away, again that same Markan phrase, elsewhere into all the surrounding area of Galilee. And that's the first incident. But this is the first incident in Mark. And what is it? An exorcism. Because that's a very marked theme. Jesus is in a battle with the strong man. He's going to finally bind him and keep him. And the ultimate victory is the act of love on the cross. But this, for Mark, this is the spiritual battle. And it's very important for Mark to make that point. And now we move on to the second incident, and starting with verse 29. And straight away, same phrase, going out of the synagogue, he came into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, if you ever go to Capernaum, and there's a great big 4th or 5th century synagogue, it's not the one that Jesus was in, but the one that Jesus was in is under it. This was a wealthy benefactor, I think it was 3rd or 4th century, built the one you see, which is not in use anymore either. The whole town is in ruins, as Jesus said would happen. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. Woe to you, Capernaum. Well, this is what's going to happen to you. And you stand there in Capernaum, which is in ruins, and you look up this way, the hill, Chorazin, in ruins. The archaeologists are digging it up. Bethsaida, over this way, ruins. Nothing, just flat land, nothing there. Because they did not accept the word of God. And so, straight away going out of the synagogue, he came into the house of Simon and Andrew, their brothers. Evidently they lived together. Now, the house is tiny. It's pretty certain we know the house because it's a little town with all these little houses. I mean, closer than anything and smaller than anything we've got, except maybe in some shanty towns, you know. They're made out of rock, stone, but they're small. So Peter and his mother-in-law, and if he had children, his children, and his brother live in the same house. We know that much because of what it says. Came into the house of Simon and Andrew. And James and John were there with James and John, who went along, come in and have supper after Shabbat now, or a meal. And, you know, James and John don't live there. It's the house of Simon and Andrew. Okay. Now, this is the first miracle. But the first in Matthew and Mark is this confrontation and expulsion of Satan. Now the first healing miracle. The messianic promise being realized. The mother-in-law of Simon was lying ill, feverish. And straight away, this is my own translation, I don't think that I'd have to look. It gets, you're always hearing straight away. Maybe they omit some. I haven't noticed. Anyway, straight away they told him about her. And going close, he raised her up, taking hold of her hand, and the fever left her. And she served them. We're going to stop for a moment there.